you know, maybe the bottle of wine might not be a good idea because yeah. you can't do that during work.
Welcome to GVEC Unplugged, a podcast made by employees for employees. Hear interviews and discussions with coworkers. Stay informed about GVEC news and projects and catch up on the latest happenings at the co-op and more. Let's get started.
Hello, GVEC team. Thanks for tuning in to the award-winning GVEC Unplugged podcast. This is Gary Korn, your Chief Financial Officer here, and today I'm joined by guest and wellness expert, Nancy Brewington. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Gary, for having me.
So I'd like to start by having you take a minute or so to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay. My name is Nancy Brewington. I'm the owner of Hands and Harmony Wellness Company and located in Universal City. I've had my business now for 10 years. I'm happy to say I've survived 10 years as a business owner and 1 year after being through COVID. I am a retired military. I retired from the United States Army back in 1997. A long time ago. I have a degree in biology and pre-med and also a nursing degree, and I'm also a licensed massage therapist. And I started Hands and Harmony back in 2011 because I wanted to provide services to help people living a healthier lifestyle. And so that's when I created Hands and Harmony.
Okay, Nancy, tell us a little bit about your business and how you got into this business.
Okay, well, one of the things I've been practicing as a nurse. And one of the things I have found working as a nurse is that a lot of people was, I'm an educator. I love talking to people and trying to help them to understand different things. And a lot of the diseases and disorders that people had in the hospital were preventable. And I saw that there was, people was not given the proper resources and tools to living a healthier life. And so that was one of the reasons why I started my business. A lot of people, you know, they think about Hands and Harmony. We do massages, but we also do other types of services to helping people living a healthier life. One of my biggest things is helping people with stress management. Massages, people just think of massage work as something that you go on your vacation and you, you know, go get a massage. But massage work is so key to helping relax your muscles and your mind. And then one of the other things that we started doing in my business is that we started doing yoga classes, mindful movements, and meditation. I love meditation. And during the pandemic, as a result of the pandemic, since people wasn't coming to me, I started creating guided meditation and stress management classes because I found that that was such a dire need and that our community need more information. And so we created classes on meditation, stress management, healthy eating, all the key things that people wasn't able to have the resources. And now I feel that with my business, I'm able to provide those type of resources, not only for the individuals, but we also go to corporate and to businesses and do those same type of classes and services.
All right, thank you. So I guess that leads us into today's topic, which is about stress management and mental wellness. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little stressed when I was asked to do this podcast on stress. So, you know, now's the time that, you know, everybody, their kids are heading back to school, sports are starting back up, we've got the holidays right around the corner, you know, and then as you mentioned, we've, you know, had the global pandemic for, you know, the last 18 months or so. From all that, you know, when defining stress, is all stress bad?
No, it's not. You have good stress and you have bad stress. Stress is kind of what keeps us going from day to day, but as long as it's kept in check. Say, for instance, you're planning a wedding. You're planning your work schedule. Those are good stressors. As long as you keep it within a minimum, and there's two different types we call acute and we call chronic. Acute stress is just a short span time. For instance, like I said, for if you're planning a wedding, you have an event, you're going to be taking care of those events, and then the wedding is there, and then you're finished. And so that's acute. When you talk about chronic, it's when even after the event, you're still feeling stressed, you're feeling overwhelmed. So those are two of the different types of stress that we usually like to talk about.
Okay, but there's some benefits of stress too, right? That you know, like sometimes you get a burst of energy or, you know, you, something to help you meet your daily challenges.
Oh, definitely it is. You want to have stress because if you had to have a deadline, you want to be on your game. Okay, so definitely we don't want to be zen too much when we're trying to go ahead and give that business report or something. So you definitely want to have some level of stress. But again, when you're stressed, it's the body's response to helping you to take care of a situation. When you're stressed, your body, your mind, and everything changes. It becomes more alert. Vision, say for instance, you're getting ready to, and I say from being in the military, if you're getting ready to go into the battle, and when you're going into the battle and these things starts changing around you, you become a little bit stressed to the point where your vision becomes very clear, your respiration becomes very acute to being able to handle the situation, and your heart rate starts beating a little bit faster so that it gets blood circulating throughout the body because it's going to need that as far as the reaction time to taking care of business. And the same thing if you for instance, doing this podcast or something, you want to be clear in your mind, and so you're going to have a little bit of stress, and so it's good to have that because that's going to give you the chance to focus, to being able to take care and get everything going. So that is good. We want to have that kind of stress. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and as I was preparing for this, I was doing a little bit of reading, and it talked about, you know, sometimes you have stress, but the stress ends up being good, right? So that you're traveling.
Yes, definitely.
And you're stressed at the airport. You're stressed at, you know, did my baggage make it? Are the kids behaving on the airplane? But then at the end of the flight, you're at your vacation destination. So, you know, that's a good stress. Or you have life changes, right? You get married, you have a baby. Mm-hmm. That's stressful, but the end result is good. Can you maybe expand a little bit on that?
Well, when you're thinking about that, it is all good. Now, let's say, for instance, when you're going on a vacation and you're going to the airport, you're making sure that you're getting there. Now, you have to be kind of keen and being more aware of how your body's responding. Now, some people, when they're getting ready to go to the airport, if they didn't leave on time, they have to get stuck in traffic. And then when they get there, then they get to the airport, they get there late, and they're getting on the long lines. That kind of stress, no. So we have to, when you're planning your vacation, you want to make sure you're being very mindful of your situation. You want to plan everything. You know, if you're going on vacation, you're going to be driving to the airport, make sure you don't drive, 10 minutes to 20 minutes before your flight leaves. Give yourself enough time to get to the airport, get enough time to get your baggage and everything else, because if you do not do that, you're going to be adding on more stress to your situation. And then when you get to your destination, you're not going to be able to de-stress. You're going to be just angry at everybody. You're going to still talk about what happened, how you got there, and everything else. So you have your good ones and you have your bad ones. It's how you handle each one of those situations.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I do try to have little routines when I'm traveling, that I like mm-hmm. to get to the airport 2 hours early, and I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to be able to find my parking spot. And I do notice that sometimes when just a couple things kind of are offbeat, that it does add a little stress to the, even though I'm prepared or try to be prepared. So right. You get to check in and the line's longer than it should be, so mm-hmm. that's pretty interesting there. Mm-hmm. In talking about negative stress, just what are some of the warning signs that that we're becoming stressed?
If you think about it, now stress for each person is going to be different. We're both individuals. Some people can handle certain situations where another person may not. But when it becomes chronic and it starts getting into your health, you're going to find that you're not able to focus. You're going to be, you're losing a lot of sleep. You're being more agitated and angry with people. And so those are some of the key ones. And those are like the beginning stressors, signs. Now, when it gets a little bit more chronic, then that's when you start getting into your health and you start seeing those different changes.
Now, is different personality types handle stress differently?
You can always go into your A personality, your B, your C. And sometimes you will have people who are just kind of laid back and they don't let anything bother them. But again, I don't like to look at the different personality traits, more so on the different individuals, because people with different situations in life are able to handle different situations as it occurs to them. Like, for instance, I spent 20 years in the military. And there's been situations that I could just go ahead and just respond very quickly, because that's how I was trained. And you can see somebody else under the same situation, they're just frazzled and razzled, and it's kind of like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And they just go really crazy, and they start going into a corner, they start crying or or whatever, and I'm kind of looking at them, you know, this is easy. This is okay. So people are trained to different situations, and they handle stresses differently than others.
Okay, so that's interesting. So it's not just personality type, but it's also training and maybe how you've grown up in backgrounds. So
correct.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. What are the main causes of stress? And maybe kind of hit on internal stress versus external stress. I've been told by a lot of my employees in the past that I stress them out. So.
Well, sometimes that's going to be on the perception of the individuals as far as, you know, how are they feeling. Let's say, for instance, internal stressors, a lot of things that's going on within you, your body, poor diet, you don't exercise, and so your body's really tired. You're not getting enough sleep at night, so you're just really drained. You're going through a lot of physical problems. Those are going to affect you somewhat internally. External stressors may be just environmental. It may be your work situation. It may be your boss. It may be your spouse. So there's going to be different types of external versus internal stressors. It's what happens and how you work through those things. And it's also your mind and how you're perceiving things too as well. So it's always key to understanding what you're going through mentally. And a lot of times because of our world and we're so fast going and changing, technology has made things easy and it's also made things harder for us because it's allowing things to come at us very quickly. And then at the same time, our minds are not always able to handle those situations as quickly as that. And so we become very stressed and overwhelmed and it starts bothering us and how we're handling things. And then we, you know, start developing chronic, that acute stress from that meeting that deadline has now become chronic because you got these all these different types of deadlines you have to meet. And there's different strategies that you can use to take care of that. And so you have to kind of be mindful of what you are and what's going on with you and how you're handling it.
Mm-hmm. So I was reading something the other day that said, adults in the United States are feeling their highest level of stress. And, you know, it's because of the pandemic and life being changed and all the changes that we're having to deal with. What do you see and what are your thoughts on COVID's impact on stress in the United States?
Well, definitely COVID has put a lot of stress on our society. One, because it's an unknown. A lot of people do not like change. They don't like not understanding what's going on. And if you think about it, also during the pandemic, we was going through an election. So not only were we having the pandemic going on, the information, because it was a new virus and everything else, we got so much different information, and we had technology, we had the internet, we had the Facebook, we had all of these other variables that was been bombarding us continuously. Then we had the elections going on. So there was a lot of different variables that was causing people a lot of changes. We had to change our work environment. All of a sudden, you're not at the office, you're at home. And then how do you work at home? A lot of people did not have that routine. Oh my gosh, what do I do? You know, what to say? And then most people who are not technologically correct, they don't even know how to turn on the computer at home to put on a Zoom. So they got to not have to work from home. So there were so many different stressors going on. And a lot of people just did not have enough time to breathe and then take everything in because they had to respond. You know, all of a sudden, you're at home, you're at work, your kids are at home. Oh my gosh, now my kids are home. You know, I'm not used to it. They're at school, they're away from me, but now everything is coming at you at the same time. So we had a lot of problems going on with people going through a lot of stress and trying to understand what's going on. And it was bombarding. It was very hard for a lot of people.
Okay, and I think you mentioned, you know, about some of the, what does stress do to your body, but could you maybe dive into that a little bit deeper and you know, what does it do to our bodies and how do we recognize that, you know, maybe what's going on is stress?
Like I said, when it's acute, when it's very short, you know, your heart rate's going to go up a little bit, you're going to breathe, you know, changing your breathing up, become a little bit sharper and keen in what's going on around you. Now, when it becomes chronic and continuous, we start developing what we call an inflammatory response. The body is a magnificent machine. It's just really beautiful. And one of the things that when the body knows that something is not normal, it's going to go ahead and try to bring it down to normalcy. And one of the things, especially if you're very heightened, because when you're very stressed, your cortisol levels is going up and everything, your hormone starts changing and elevating. And the body says, wait a minute, this has been going on for too long. We need to stop this. And so what happens, the body starts triggering an inflammatory response to kind of bring these things back to normal. And then if these things are not put in check, if they're not coming back to its normal range, you're having more of a heightened inflammatory response. So a lot of times for people, they experience headaches, they can't sleep. Some of the chronic things, too, is what we call inflammatory autoimmune diseases. And some of those, they're finding out now, let's say for lupus, Crohn's disease, because when the body, I always say, and it's kind of, you know, you can't shoot and go to the bathroom at the same time. So one thing is going to stop while the other one is. So while you're in heightened stress, you're not going to go to the bathroom in a regular way. So that's going to affect you. So a lot of people have developed Crohn's disease, even diabetes. They're now finding out that diabetes is an autoimmune disease, as well as, you know, lifestyle too. And that's because when your body's highly inflamed, it starts attacking healthy tissue as well as the bad tissue as it's breaking down your hormones and everything else. So those are just some of the signs. Now, if you have an employee and all of a sudden they're not coming into work, you know, we shouldn't have chronic colds 8, 9, 10 times in a year. But when you start seeing that your body's immune system is not able to fight off infections and diseases because it's trying to bring us back to normalcy. So you have a lot of sicknesses and illnesses, irritability, people, you know, all of a sudden marriages are, you know, going south because the, you know, arguments, because we're just so stressed and we don't know how to handle it. And sometimes we take it out on those that's closer to us.
Okay. Well, that tells us what it's doing to our body. So now, you know, how do we take control of stress?
There's a lot of different things that you could do. One is to recognize it, that your body's going through stress. There is, you know, you could do meditation. And one of the there's a technique called the body scan within meditation. And with that meditation, you're actually doing deep breathing and you're kind of looking at each body part and you're kind of focusing on that body part. Let's say, okay, we're doing a meditation and you're kind of focusing on your feet. How does my feet feel? Does it feel stressed? And then you move up to each part of the body and just kind of being conscious. Is it stressed? Is it feeling stressed? And whatnot. So understanding your body and its response to the different situations really helps. So meditation is really good for doing that. And it also helps you to stay focused on something else and then what's going on in your environment and your life at that moment. Healthy diet is also really good too. We eat a lot of processed food. Our society, we run to McDonald's, Burger King, all of these fast food places versus staying at home and eating a healthy meal. We're starting to find out, and through science, is that a lot of processed meal, the body does not know how to break those foods down. And then all of a sudden, it starts storing it. And then the body's saying, again, wait a minute, there's too much of this, and I have to break it down. So as the body is trying to break things down, some people experience anxiety. And it's not so much that they're mentally anxiety, it's that their body is trying to bring things back to normal. So eating a healthy diet is very key. Exercise is very key too, because it's now allowing you to change your hormone levels as you're exercising. You're breathing differently, so now you're expanding and letting out a lot of different things. So you could exercise, eating a healthy diet, meditation. Aromatherapy is also good. It helps with the senses as you're inhaling different aromatherapies. It's been known to help a lot of people minimize their stress. And walking. A lot of people, they don't, you know, okay, when you say exercise, they think gym. No, you don't have to go to the gym all the time. You just take a nice walk outside. If you're at work, you could just take a nice walk around the building. And so it's just simple things that you could do to incorporate in your everyday life to help with your stress.
Okay, that's interesting, yeah, because I'm in the gym every day, I try to eat very healthy. Mm-hmm. Actually, during the pandemic, I started intermittent fasting. So, you know, from 8 p.m. until noon the next day, I don't eat anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my sleep is great. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's just like kind of all these things I think are helping me. And you know, then when we do go through the pandemic or we have this winter storm Uri that, you know, are very stressful events that, you know, I think that, you know, I've been able to deal with it really well, maybe better now than I would have 20 years ago or 10 years ago. So I really see what you're talking about mm-hmm. there as far as diet and exercise and just the, you know, the all the components that help there. You know, you were talking about getting into meditation and some of the things you're doing, and you have this military background. So mm-hmm. tell me how you go from military to, you know, where you're on your game and it's stressful and focused, and then you get over here into meditation, and it's kind of like, you know, the other side of the coin.
That's an interesting story. Well, the military, it has definitely put me into a different environment. I've actually been practicing meditation since I was 15 years old, and so I found the benefits of it, and I think with me, the adapting to the military type of life, I must have been destined for it. My siblings used to call me the little general. I didn't think I was that way, but I was always a very quiet kind of a person, but very, you know, in tune to my environment. And so those things helped me when I was in the military, and it also helped me as I transitioned from the military into civilian life. For me, it's a role. And once I finish that role, I'm done. And with a lot of times, a lot of people have a hard time transitioning that. That role becomes a part of who they are, their identity. And then once they're out, they don't know how to transition. So that causes a lot of problems for people. I don't think I really had that much of a difference. I was really ready, you know, to embark on a different way of life for me. So it wasn't too hard for me to transition into that. And it wasn't a few years, actually, when I retired that I went into this career field.
So as an expert on stress management, what stresses you as a business owner in your civilian life here?
Well, I will have to say sometimes the transitioning, you know, because I'm used to teamwork and working people working together. When we was in the military, you know, we had a mission. We worked together to fulfilling that. And then transitioning, I found that a lot of people don't have that same mindset. And so that was the biggest stressor for me. And then I had to realize, it took me a while, actually, to realize some of the things that was bothering me and that I was responding instead of just taking time to reflect and see what was going on. So for me, COVID was a very good respite and a re-triggering for me as far as saying, you know what, I've been doing things a little bit wrong here, and, you know, I'm getting kind of stressed, and I got so wrapped up in running a business and everything that I developed some problems myself. And now that I had the pandemic, I had to shut down for a couple of months and regroup, and during that time, I realized, oh, my gosh, I need to change things around. And so as I reopened, I have changed a lot and with my business and everything else. And that's one of the things that a lot of people need to do. They need to have that reset button. And we don't always have that reset button. And we need to recognize that, to reset and push that button and to go ahead and find out what's going on with us. So that's talking about meditation. Stress is one of the biggest things I love to talk about with people.
If you have an employee that you think is stressed, mm-hmm. you know, how do I approach that employee and what type of, you know, information, what can I do to help them or help get them to the, you know, to a better place?
Well, one of the things that I'm finding now is the companies, because I've been doing this for a while, and I've been doing corporate wellness for a few years now. And one of the things that I've noticed is that when companies has a wellness program and involvement with the employees say, you know what, this is a good environment for me. They care about me. They want to do something that's going to better for me as an individual, not only as an employee, but also as an individual. And then also, as I think employers, as they try to connect with their employees a little bit more, when they're recognizing absenteeism, when they're recognizing people not connecting with the employees, not connecting with each other, when you see that there's a heightened amount of hostility or gossip going on, those are signs that the employer needs to take and say, wait a minute, there's something going on. Let's do a round table. Let's have some kind of open discussion with the employees. And then making an environment that employees can talk to the employers and feel that when they're talking to the employers, that they're listening. And when they're listening, they're acting on what they're saying. And I think when employers provide that type of an environment for their employees, you're going to start seeing a change. You're going to see more productivity, increased productivity in the workforce. You're going to see people not taking, not being absent or taking sick leave times and everything else, or getting into arguments and things. But employers, if they spend a little bit more time getting to know their employees, has shown to help a lot in minimizing stress at the work site.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to change directions here a little bit. You know, when we're interviewing people and when I've been interviewed, you know, in the past, you always, there's the standard question, how do you handle stress? Is that a good question to ask it in interviews? And, you know, if somebody's asked that question, what's the best response?
Well, you're going to see, if you ask that question, the person that's asking have to be open to changes and differences. A lot of times when we ask that kind of a question, the response is what we think it would be for us. And then if that person doesn't answer that question the way we would, then we think there's something wrong with them. So when we ask that question, we have to be open enough to realize that each one of us is different and that what one person handles stress, one person says, I just go outside for a walk. And another person says, I got to go to the gym. Another person may say, I need to go drink a bottle of wine. But to be able to respect. And then if the person answers it in a way and we say, wait a minute, but you've been absent for so many days out of work, or you're very angry all the time, then that may be a signal to the employer or the interviewer to say, you know what, there may be something that you're not recognizing in yourself that let me help you to understand that this is what I perceive, that you're not handling stress very well, or you're handling stress very well, and I would like to learn what you're doing type of thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we focus on the outward mindset here, so we're seeing others as people and not objects, and mm-hmm. So... Your comment there about being open to various answers is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, there are various, maybe that's the right answer, right? The right answer is there's no right answer on how to deal with stress, and each person should have some type of avenue to overcome stress. So we need to all be open to a variety of ideas. Maybe the bottle of wine might not be a good idea because you can't do that during work. That's very interesting. What are some of the myths versus realities, when it comes to mental health and wellness?
Well, one of the things that's really making it very difficult to have that discussion with employers, employees, is that we put a stigmatism to mental health. We put it to the point of thinking that you can't handle it. You don't know how, it's like you just need to do it. And, that's it. That's the bottom line. And when people can't do it, they feel that they're not accomplishing, they're not meeting expectations, and that basically that they're crazy. They got something wrong with them. We always look at it as a perfection. We want to be perfect. There's no perfect person. And so when we look at mental health, we look at people with this view that if you're not perfect, if you're not doing everything 100%, then there's something wrong. And there is no one that's going to be perfect. And because of that, it puts a lot of problems on people to meet that perfection. And what we need to do is take that out of the equation. Employees will not seek it because then they make it think that it's going to be detrimental to their report, that they can't handle stress. And that means that if we give them a promotion, they can't handle the promotion because they can't handle it. And so a lot of people don't want to go ahead and say, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to delegate. I don't know how to do these things. And then they don't want to confide in the employer or the manager that they are having problems. But it's a team working together and understanding that we're not perfect, that we need to learn how to delegate when we're having a lot of work, and being able to work together as a team. We all are parts of a company. You have like a whole body. You have the body, you have the arms, you have the legs, you have the head, you have the hands. Each part has a job that it can do, but collectively doing it together is going to go ahead and make things better and more operational. And I think when businesses look at that in that way, if one hand is not working very well, the other hand can't take on that extra load, because then the other hand is not going to be able to do its job. So we need to be able to be conscious of that. And I think people, when they're dealing with mental health, is understanding that everybody's different. But if we work together as a team, we can accomplish so much.
Yeah, that's real interesting, because that is one of the things that I see, is that oftentimes people don't want to ask for help. And, you know, I'm always trying to promote that we, you know, please ask for help. Don't drown. I mean, the difficult part is when you don't ask for help and then you've already you're drowning, and then, you know, we're trying to jump in and recover and get everything caught back up. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong. It's just, you know, a lot of times I feel that people are too proud, have too much pride, you know, don't want to ask for help to, you know, with their work. But it's very important that, you know, as you're saying, that, you know, from a business standpoint, that people ask for help, and that then more importantly, that us as managers and coworkers, you know, that we're there to support them and you know, get them through whatever they're dealing with. You know, kind of reaching the end here, is there, you know, do you have any philosophy on mental health, or any, you know, any short checklists or rules or things that you live by, or that you like to tell others?
The one thing I always tell people, there's like two different things. When you're in a situation and everything looks dark and black, and when you look at it just square in your face, what you need to do is step back. And each time you step back, you're going to see a more beautiful picture. And that little dark spot that you're looking at is no longer there. And as you go further back, allow yourself that distance and that time, you're going to see a beautiful rainbow, when at one time, when you was up close in your face kind of way, you just saw nothing but dark clouds. So I always tell people, just take time, step back from a situation, breathe, and just inhale and then exhale. And just doing that is going to make things so much better for you as an individual, and also for those who's surrounding you. And the other one I like is that there's two sides of a coin. There's a heads and there's a tail. When you keep getting that heads, you just turn it over. You got tails. It's different situation. And that means that when things are going bad, just flip the coin, flip your attitude, and things will start being different for you.
All right. Well, Nancy, it was great visiting with you today, and really appreciate you sharing positive and encouraging tips about how we can manage stress and stay healthy.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode or have ideas on how we can make this podcast more interesting, just email gvecunplugged@gvec.org with your feedback. Be sure to subscribe to the GVEC Unplugged podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google, or Overcast to be notified when new episodes are released. Take care of each other, GVEC team, and stay safe till next time.